For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Let's open in prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you for your precious word, the word that's able to build us up and give us an inheritance, and we praise you, Lord, for that. And Father, I ask that everyone that hears this message would be blessed and uplifted. And Lord, we commit ourselves to hearing your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. We're looking tonight at tools for Bible study. So I want to look at some physical tools and also spiritual tools. The Lord has placed in our hands some very valuable things that we need to take advantage of, and particularly at this time in history, we have some very good ways of being able to study the Word of God. So let's first of all look at 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're looking at a couple of verses here. We'll start from verse 12 and verse 13. We'll go to verse 13. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Now Paul the Apostle is speaking to people he had taught and preached to, and notice what he says here. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. The tabernacle referring to his body. So we see that there is a word he uses and he repeats, and that's the word remembrance. So in verse 12 he talks about remembrance, and he says that he's not going to be negligent. I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. And he uses a phrase there, though ye know them. And there's a lot of people that will say, well, I know that, I've heard that, but not as open to the Word of God as they should be. Though ye know them and be established in the present truth. So God wants people to be established. And you see, Paul here is giving the value of repetition. And he says to put you always in remembrance of these things. And verse 13, he says to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And then if you look at verse 15, it says, moreover, I will endeavour that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. So we can see that the word remembrance is used several times with respect to doctrine and teaching and the things of the Lord. So God wants these things to be in our hearts, and he wants us to constantly remember what we know and to be established in the present truth. So we have to have open hearts. We have to have open hearts when we come to the Word of God. Let's have a look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 to 18. 2 Timothy 2. Verses 15 to 18, we know this section of Scripture quite well. 2 Timothy 2, starting from verse 15, and we'll go down to verse 18. It says here, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the sum. I remember in my past a man once said, oh, we've had enough of teaching, and yet this very man knew very little of the Word of God and being able to quote the Word and preach and teach the Word. We're not to be like that. We're to be, as the Bible says there, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A workman has tools. A workman is able to do things with the word and is able to rightly divide the word of truth. Notice the word study, to show thyself approved unto God. Does God want his people to study? He does. He wants all of his people to be students of the word of God. You notice we have to use the godly tool of directed attention, and that is that we've got to put our attention on the right things, not on the wrong things. Because it says in verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings. Now there is much profane and vain babbling all around us, and I don't need to go into detail about that, but we need to shun profane and vain babblings. We need to keep away from profane and vain babblings, because they have the potential to put bad seed into people's hearts. Okay? And notice what it says about their word, based on these profane and vain babblings. It says, and their word will eat as doth a canker. Well, it's like a cancer. Okay, so that type of word is not going to be building up people, but is going to cause people to err, as it says in verse 18, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. So we have to be people that study the word of God as workmen that needeth not to be ashamed. In other words, we're doing the right thing, we're using the right tools, rightly dividing the word of truth, because there are people, the Bible talks about false apostles, false teachers, false brethren, who, and of course in the world, the Bible talks about false prophets have gone out into the world, and they're indeed in even churches. We have to be able to discern the right word. What is the right word? And that comes through directed attention on the word of God. Praise the Lord. So we have to look at the scripture. The scripture. And know that the scripture that we hold in our hand is a valuable and true scripture. Thy word is truth, Jesus said in John 17:17. And let's have a look also at Psalm 119, verse 140. Because if we have in our hands the right Bible, then we can have confidence that what we're looking into, what we're studying, what we're now using tools to dig into, so to speak, we're looking at something which doesn't have error, which is the very truth of God. And so there are people out there, people who have given teaching to the church, that you cannot have a final authoritative Bible. And that is a disastrous, or has been a disastrous position, that has overthrown the faith of people. Now looking at Psalm 119 verse 140, we see these very important words, and that is, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Notice the word therefore. So if you've got a very pure word, no error, nothing of man in it, very pure word, you're going to have a love for it, and you're going to have a love to get into it in terms of studying it and being a workman and wanting to rightly divide the truth, so that you get to a proper position concerning doctrine, a proper position concerning knowledge in God. So thy word is very pure, and we know that the word of God, which has been brought providentially into our hands now, is the King James Bible, and in particular the pure Cambridge edition of the King James Bible. So we have in our word, in our hands, a very pure word that we can take hold of and we can love. This is a good love, to love the word of God and its purity. Praise the Lord. Have a look at Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. And we'll look at some verses in Isaiah 28. We'll look first of all at verses 9 and 10 of Isaiah 28. Verses 9 and 10. Notice what it says here. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. So you can see that there is importance placed on the teaching of knowledge. There's importance placed on the understanding of doctrine. Okay, and you can see that there is a building happening, precept upon precept, line upon line. There is a building happening, here a little, there a little. You know, when you become a Christian, first, as a baby Christian, you don't know everything, obviously. You don't know just how much there is in the Bible. If it was suddenly all shown to you, you wouldn't be able to take hold of it. But in terms of teaching, in terms of studying, you look at it here a little, there a little. You look at precept upon precept. So there's a building process that happens in a person's life as they are taught knowledge and as they understand doctrine. Who among here can say that they've been increased in understanding and increased in knowledge, increased in doctrine? I believe we should be able to say that if we've been growing in the Lord. So you can see we must have a proper authoritative King James Bible. The internet provides search engines which we should take advantage of. There are many other King James Bible based helps such as concordances and word studies. But we must not go to the Hebrew and Greek as though it somehow sheds more light than the plain English reading, and that's important. As I said, there are false words and false tools associated with those false words out there, and we need to understand the King James Bible we hold in our hand is the final received text. And if you understand God's providence, you'll know that what we have in our hands now is something we can base our life upon, base our knowledge upon, base our doctrine upon, and so on. So it's important for us to see that. Now, as I said, there are people out there whose word will eat as doth a canker. The Bible gives a warning about those type of people. We'll look at a couple of warnings there. Proverbs 24, verse 21. Let's look at that first of all. Proverbs 24, 21. And let's take heed of these warnings, because if we understand that there are these problematic people and teachers and what they're doing, and when we look into studying the Word of God, we see that we've got to make sure that as we're studying the Word of God, we're taking the proper tools, we're taking a directed attention, we're having hearing ears, we're not resorting to improper things, which are readily available, but they're not things that are going to help to build you up, okay? And that's something for us to grab hold of, that we want to be people that are built up in the Word of God and able to build others up as well. So when we study and we are students of the Word, we're not doing it just for ourselves, are we? We're doing it that we can then bring that knowledge on and teach that knowledge to others in the right way and help others to grow in the faith and so on. So Proverbs 24, verse 21, it says, "If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water." Proverbs 24, verse 21. I've got it now. Glory to God. "My son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change." Okay, so we see in the modern version area, there are many that are given to change. We need to shun that type of profane babbling. And we're told to meddle not with them that are given to change. In fact, there is a judgment upon those who are fiddling with the Word of God. And we need to look at that in Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. So let's have a look at that. Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. In Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, it says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." So there are very severe judgments for those who tamper with the Word of God. And of course, this is not the only part of Scripture which talks about that. So we must be people that understand that we have a word we can rely upon. We love it. We want to study it for the right reasons. And we want, as we learnt before, so that we could increase in knowledge and understanding of doctrine, and that we then are able to help others to grow. And we do it bit by bit, like a building in our life, building process. And as I said before, we're living in a time when it is very easy to be able to search the Bible by just using a search engine, King James Bible search engine, and they're readily available, and you can put it onto your mobile phone or tablet, and it's really easy to be able to do that. But of course, the internet, like a huge library, also has bad things on it as well, and error on there as well. So as I said before, we have to be people that are directed in terms of the right way of looking at the Scriptures. We're not wanting to look at it as though, oh, we're wanting to choose a particular word that satisfies my own doctrine. Okay, no, we want to be taught that doctrine from the Word of God. And the way to do that is to become a student of the Word. Not to meddle with them that are given to change, which many of the modernist scholars are. Have a look at Acts 28. Acts 28, verses 23 to 31. Acts 28, 23 to 31. Now, we mentioned Paul before, where he was bringing remembrance of the things that he had taught to various people. And we saw that word remembrance was being brought up several times. And so we need to see that when we're looking at the Word, we don't just say, well, I've read that part of Scripture and then I'll never need to read it again. No, the Bible that we hold is a divine book. And the Holy Ghost, who is the Spirit of truth, is leading us into all truth. And there are wonderful layers of rich meaning in the scriptures, and we need to be people that are prayerfully approaching the Word of God. So we approach the Word of God in prayer, and we ask the Lord to help us in our study. So we're not relying just on natural things, but we say to the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to look at? Or what does this portion of Scripture mean? Please show me in the name of Jesus. So as the Bible says in the book of James 1, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So there is prayerfulness that is involved for us to get that wisdom and that knowledge into our heart. So looking at Acts 28, and we'll start from verse 23 of Acts 28. Verse 23. And this is talking about Paul, and it says, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. So do you think Paul, did he love the Word of God enough to teach it? Well, certainly the Bible says that he was doing this from morning till evening. And it says that many people, there came many to him into his lodging. So there he was teaching about the things of the kingdom of God and persuading people as well. Okay, so there's an element of persuasion that as we know the scriptures more and more, we both are persuaded in ourselves of the truth of it, but also that we're able to help others and persuade others. So there is, it's important for us to be able to do that. Verse 24, now, we are not believing for other people. You've got to understand that. So just because someone might not agree with you or might not believe what you say, it doesn't mean that you're a failure. All right? Because if you look at verse 24, what do you see? And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers. Okay, so notice that what did they do if they believed not and did not agree? What did they do? They departed. They departed. Okay, so there are many people who are already persuaded of wrong things. Now, the Lord can work in their life because they may at one stage in their life not be persuaded, but perhaps down the track the Lord gets them into a position where they can be persuaded and they can change. And obviously, you know that in our own lives, when we were first witnessed to, most of us would not have responded at that first time. But there was later on. We responded. I know in my life I didn't immediately become a Christian, but there came a time when I made a decision to believe and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. So people have to make a decision to believe, don't they? And Paul had spoken one word, verse 25 there, well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. I should heal them. And looking also, verse 28, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. So we see that there was something wrong in the heart of these people, which was stopping their ears and their eyes from seeing. So notice their ears have they closed. They made a decision. They made a decision. So when we come to the Word of God, we have to have that spiritual tool of directed attention and, as I've got here, godly attention, right judgment with meditation and prayer. Okay, these are tools, spiritual tools, that we can take hold of and come to the right conclusions in God. All right? So when the word is preached, we have to be respectful. When it's taught, we have to be respectful. That it's not just a man teaching or preaching, and we see that it was clearly with Paul. Was it just Paul preaching or teaching, or was the Lord using Paul to help him to expound about the things of God? Well, clearly it was the Lord using Paul, wasn't it? And so if you look at, we'll read verse 28 again. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Okay, so here we see that Paul was very persistent, even though there were some that chose to believe, some that chose to believe not. Now, if we have the right tools, we can come to the right conclusion about things. Both, as I said before, in the natural, there are tools we can use, but also the enemy has put things out there as well that we must avoid. For example, we should not say, well, I can look into the King James Bible, I can search through it, I can go through and a particular word, and that's fine. And then think, oh, well, perhaps I should look into the New International Version and do a study and of the same type of scriptures, same type of word in that. You will get confused because modern versions, modern translations have altered the Word of God and have left out scriptures and have changed things and even say things in contradiction and opposite to the King James Bible. So we must be very clear that those type of tools we don't take hold of. We live in a day when the tools to be able to hear the Word of God through preaching and teaching have never been more abundant. Television, internet, audio and visual helps are all available and useful when combined with spiritual tools such as godly attention, right judgment, meditation and prayer. We can also set up our own Christian library, as long as it's books that are not filled with false doctrine. Have a look at John 7 verse 24. John 7 24. This is right judgment. Right judgment. We are to be people that have the right judgment about things. And you should judge, well, I have a pure word in my hand, so why do I need to be going to another word? Why do I need to be going to something that's going to colour my thinking or change my thinking about things? No, we need to have the right judgment. And John chapter 7, look at verse 24, and here we see, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So we need to have proper or right judgment as a workman that is studying the Word of God. We must have that. Also look at Psalm 1 verse 2, which talks about the tool of meditation. Now, meditation is taking the word in a prayerful way and thinking on it and looking into it. And oftentimes you'll take a particular verse or section of scripture and you'll prayerfully look into it and mull on it and take it into your heart. And certainly I know that in my own life that when I've been preparing for sermons and things like that, I have taken a word or a section of word and I've thought about it and looked on it and prayerfully asked the Lord to show me the things about it. And so this is so very, very important for us to take hold of. If we don't, if we just say, oh, well, I'll just rely on my own intellect, I'll just rely on my own way, you start to deviate. You start to go to walk after the flesh rather than after the Spirit. But no, the Lord has shown us. He's shown us how we are to study His Word, how we are to approach His Word. And Psalm 1, verse 2 says, "But His delight is in the law of the Lord." Now, we talked before about loving God's Word, didn't we? Your delight must be in the law of the Lord, or the Word of God. "And in His law doth he meditate day and night." Okay, so I've had people in the past say, "Well, I don't know, I don't understand the Bible." Well, are they in that category that we read in Acts 28, where they've closed their ears, where they're not seeing with their eyes because they don't have the eyesalve of Revelation 3, so that they have a right interpretation about the Word? Are they in that position? If they are, then there may need to be repentance on their part. Because the King James Bible, as I said before, is a divine book, and you need the Spirit of truth to open up your understanding. There's many scriptures that talk about that. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we see that. The scripture is opened up, and the Bible talks about the Lord Jesus, after his resurrection, opening up people's understanding of the Word of God, so they understood about the prophecies concerning him. So the way we need to approach the Word, therefore, as a workman of God, studying it, is not say, oh, it's all too hard, or I can never come to proper doctrine. That's an unbiblical approach. No, we say, Lord, I know that you're here to help me. I know that you are showing me things out of your Word. You're bringing to remembrance the things that the Lord Jesus has said, and so on. Through the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, is doing that. So we see when Paul talks about bringing to remembrance, he's not just doing it in the flesh, even though he's using his mouth to teach, okay, and getting people to read and so on. He's not just doing that. He's relying on the Holy Ghost to help him. He's relying on them to have right judgment and to say, well, I'm going to meditate on the Word of God, as it says here, "And in His law doth he meditate day and night." I believe all of us can do more meditation on the Word of God. This is something which will bring wonderful treasures and open up the knowledge of God and understanding of doctrine to us. If we have the idea that I only have to front up to church twice a week or once a week and hear the sermon, and then I can go out and on my merry way and do whatever I want. Well, see, that's not a godly approach, is it? And certainly not being a student of the Word, which is whether you're in church or out of church services. Although in the church service you must be open to the Holy Ghost speaking and showing us things. Glory to God. We're coming towards the end, but let's have a look at, we've already quoted about, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Well, that's prayer. That's a prayerful approach. If you want the wisdom of God, well, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So you need to respect and hold God in a high place in your life to make sure that when you're approaching His Word, you're not approaching it as though it's just any old word. You're approaching it as a divine book. You're approaching it as something that is the very truth of God that can produce wonderful things in your heart and in your life and in the society around you, praise the Lord. So look at Proverbs 3, verses 1 to 4. Proverbs 3, 1 to 4. I want to get through this, and if you can stay with me a bit longer, I want you to take hold of this, because this is a very important topic, because we have many people who don't know the word as they should. Even many Christians who have remained baby Christians or are carnal, what we would call carnal brethren, and they're in traps, or they haven't grown, or they're thinking wrongly, or they're listening to wrong words, etc. So we're looking at Proverbs 3 and verses 1 to 4. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So there has to be a spiritual writing implement, doesn't there? Because a writer needs tools. Okay, so we see that there is the table or tablet for writing upon, and that is your heart, the table of your heart. And the Word of God, the truth, as it says there, has to be written onto your heart, has to be written upon your heart. And so we must have that godly attention to the Word, as I said before, a directed attention. If you look at Proverbs 4 verse 1, just go across there, Proverbs 4 verse 1 and 2. Hearken, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend, notice the word attend, to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. So we should attend to no understanding, attend to know, and that will enable that writing to be put on the table of your heart. Look also at verse 20 in Proverbs 4. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. So we've got to have an inclined ear, don't we? We have to have attention to God's words. We've got to attend to His words. That means pay attention. Pay attention. Don't be frivolous about the Word of God. That directed attention is a powerful spiritual tool that we can take into our lives and enable the writing of God to be put on the table of our heart. Also look at Proverbs 7, verses 1 to 3. Proverbs 7, 1 to 3 says, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Okay, that means you love it, and it's something you value highly. Verse 3, bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. So here we see that God's words and commandments have to be written on the table of your heart. And also Proverbs 7 verse 24, just look at that one. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. So we see attention or attending to God's words is very, very important to get it onto your the table of your heart. Glory to God. So spiritual understanding from the Spirit comes in. And we know that the Bible talks about spiritual understanding in Colossians 1. We won't turn to that. Many fail to grow in the knowledge of God because they do not use the spiritual tool of attention, and then wonder why things have gone wrong or are back to front in their lives. As I said before, there are even Christians who are in a carnal state or a trapped state or a backward state when they should be, as the Word tells us, they shouldn't be carnal, they should be by this time teachers. You know, they should have developed in the Word so that they're no longer babes or babies, but are now teachers of the Word of God. And I want to finish with Revelation 3, verses 18 and 19, because we're living in a time whereby people need what the Scripture says is eye salve, so that they understand the Word of God. They understand the Word of God. We need to, as Christians, make sure that we are not looking into the Word with our own pet doctrines, but are actually getting our doctrine, that good doctrine, from the Word of God itself. And so that means that we should be comparing Scripture. We should be doing line upon line building and allowing ourselves to be taught of the Holy Ghost. So Proverbs 3, verses 18 and 19, it says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now notice, we read before in Acts 28 that there were people who had eyes, but they weren't seeing. So they need that eye salve, which will enable their eyes to be healed and their eyes to be able to see properly. Okay, so they have to be allowing the Lord, and this is where that tool of I guess you could say humility is very important here, where you humble yourself before the Lord and He will lift you up and He will show you things. The Bible says that He'll bring to remembrance the things of Jesus and so on. So I pray that tonight you have got some idea of some of the tools that you need for proper Bible study, and that you see that it is related, not just the natural tools that we have. And if we only rely on those natural tools, we're going to be like many, where they're just trusting in more of the arm of the flesh rather than allowing the Lord to expand things out for them. Glory to God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful things you have placed in your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are interested in us being built up and taught of your word and in understanding knowledge. And I pray that every person here would start to understand more and more and increase more and more in the knowledge of God. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.